Remember. Okay, page 984 at Shlishi, three lines in the end of the page. Okay, what the pasuk basically, Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing the Jews, coming to the land of Eretz Yisrael, milk and honey. He did all the miracles for you. You're going to forget. You're going to forget Hashem. And then he says, Jews, you should know that you're going to Israel. There's going to be a lot of giants. But you have to understand Hashem is leading you, not yourself. So you don't have to be afraid of them and so on. So now he says like this. Al teimer bilvavcha, you shouldn't say in your heart that ba'adef Hashem alakecha, when Hashem pushes away or gets rid of the enemies, mufanecha lemer, you're going to say the following. B'tzidkasi yaviani Hashem, in my own righteousness, Hashem brought me l'resh esesar, it says, to inherit this land of Eretz Yisrael, u'b'rish esagayim o'ela, and because of the evil of the nations, Hashem merisha mipanecha, Hashem make you get them, conquer the land. He says, a person is going to say, you know what, we're going to Eretz Yisrael because we're righteous and the goyim are bad. So the pasuk says, it's not true. You're not coming to because of your righteousness. It's not because of your righteousness. Don't think it's your goodness. Okay? And it's only because of the evil of these nations. Hashem alakecha merisha mipanach, Hashem is driving them out before you. Uleman hokim esadav Hashem nishba Hashem lavisacha. Okay? And to keep the vow that Hashem made. So the Mephoshim discuss, it's a very interesting pasuk. I mean, the pasuk says, it's not because you're righteous and they're evil, because you're not righteous. It's only that they're evil, and Hashem promised them that you're going to get the land. So that if that's the case, the Mephoshim, and if the goyim wouldn't be bad, Hashem anyway promised Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. The pasuk says there's two reasons why I'm driving them out of Eretz Yisrael. Number one, they're wicked, and number two, because Hashem swore to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So even if they're not wicked, Hashem would have to keep the shvuah. So Mephoshim say, yeah, but then Hashem wouldn't have destroyed them. Hashem would have given them another piece of land. If the goyim wouldn't be wicked, so Eretz Yisrael, they have to get anyway because Hashem promised Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. But he wouldn't destroy them. He would give them another piece of land in Ethiopia or whatever. But he wouldn't destroy them. So the pasuk is two things. This, that the goyim are bad because of that, he drove them out of Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he? And because of the Shavuah, he drove them out of Eretz Yisrael that the Jews should get the land. But because they're wicked, Hashem destroyed them. Because the main thing is the promise that Hashem made to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And then the pasuk continues. V'yadait, you should know. It's not because, again, don't forget, Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu admonishing the Jews. So the whole Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jews, you're not good. What?
Why both at the same time? They right because they are weakness and also they are promise. Why should be the same time? Because not related to each other.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The Mepharshim explained he drove them out of Eretz Yisrael because he swore that the Jews aren't going to get the land.
That's it, yeah.
But why did he destroy them? Why is there a mitzvah not to leave them alive? Because they're also bad.
So why the same time? Why the same time?
Because it's both connected. You're getting the land because Hashem swore to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and you have to kill them because they're bad. And Hashem didn't want the evil influence on the Jewish people. But he says like this, V'yadait yishino, Pasuk Vav, K'lei b'tzidkoscha Hashem elokecha neisen l'choyetzeres tevizeis l'rishto. Hashem is not giving you because of your righteousness. Ki am k'shei eidafata, you're a stiff-necked people. So you're stubborn, you don't listen, so really you don't deserve the land. And he says like this, Schar al tishkach, remember, don't forget, he says, Sheksavtas Hashem alakecha b'amidbar, the way you got Hashem angry in the desert. And he says like this, limit, what? 986, like eight lines in the top of the page. No, you're on the wrong page.
986.
986.
986.
Pasuk Zayin. Schar al tishkach, don't remember, don't forget. He says sheksavta Hashem lekecha b'midbar. By the way, this is one of the positive mitzvahs in the Torah. You have to remember the way you got Hashem angry. From the day you left Egypt, until you came to this place, 40 years, you were rebellious against God. The Torah says, from the minute you left Egypt until today, you rebelled against God. Okay, these are simple psukim, but there's a very interesting point over here, which is very important to mention. If you know Hebrew, what does mamrim hayisim im Hashem mean? In the English, it's translated, you rebelled against Hashem. Yeah? Im Hashem means with Hashem. It should have said, mamrim hayisim neged Hashem. You rebelled against God. Im Hashem means you rebelled with God. What does this mean? So a lot of people that make drushes, it's a rabbinic drusha speech. You have many times, and this is a very important thing, many times people rebel using God as an excuse to be bad. The pasuk says, "Mamnim hayisem," you were rebellious with God, meaning you used God, you used religion as a tool to fight. Many people fight over religion. Your family, whatever, people always fight over religion. And the truth of the matter is, 99% of the fights have nothing to do with religion. They're fighting anyway. Why am I saying this? Because Drachel Darchei Noyam V'chol Nisi V'Yisrael Shalom. Torah is, all the paths of Torah are sweet, and all the paths and all the avenues are peace. The Torah by Yosaita, Hashem says, erase my name on a piece of paper in order to make peace between husband and wife. Erasing Hashem's name is a very important bad sin, so to speak. You know, erasing Hashem's name. It's like not believing in God. God forbid that you're erasing Hashem's name. So the Torah says, if people fight over religion, and this is what the pasuk teaches us here, has nothing to do with religion. You're fighting. It's very easy to justify myself by making myself holy using religion to fight. Because then I'm holy because, you know why I'm against you? Because I'm more religious than you, and you're less religious than me, and therefore this is, now I'm a holy war. The Torah says, don't mix God into your rebellions. The Torah doesn't say, Mamna Meyisim Neged Hashem, you rebelled against God. In the English, to translate, because that's a simple translation. But Im Hashem means with God. The Torah says, don't use God as an excuse to fight. You know, you have this, I mean, I don't want to get into Israeli politics, but all the people, the Haredim in Israel, a lot of them, the truth is, there's nothing to do with religion, what they're fighting. Now, there's, I mentioned this many times, the Tzemach Tzedek has a maimer. It's called, in Derech Mitzvah, it's called Lesvaru Eish. He writes over there that they're mamish exactly the matzav in Israel. He said, there are people that are very, very zealous. Tanoim. When they see people less religious than them, he says, they throw stones at them, and they hit them, and they do all these terrible things to them. And he says, you should know, this is what he says in the Maimon, that those people are ra be'etzem. This is what he writes. Heim ra be'etzem, and they cloak and they cover their evil with the garment of Kedusha. This is what the pasuk over here says. Mamre mayisim im Hashem. The Torah says, don't rebel using God as a vehicle and a tool to fight. Leave God out of your fight. You want to fight, fight. It has nothing to do with religion. Because religion, Torah tells you how to make peace, that it should work. Torah tells you what to do. And this is, it's a very important thing, what the Torah is teaching us over here. Mamrim ha'yisa im Hashem, don't rebel using God as a tool to rebel. Uvecherev ekzavtem es Hashem, and even at Har Sinai, you got Hashem angry. And he's going to say now what the chataygo, right? That happened at the time of Matan Torah. Vayisanaf Hashem b'chem, and Hashem got angry because of you. Lahashmin eschem, to destroy you. Okay, so he says even at Har Sinai, when Hashem came down and revealed Himself to the Jewish people, yes, even then you rebelled against. And he says why? I need to read the next few psukim before we can discuss it. When I went up on the mountain. Lokachas luchis so avonim luchis abris, to take the luchis, asher kodes Hashem imachem, that Hashem made with you. Ve'eishe b'har aboim yayim v'aboim layla. I was in the mountain, right? He went up after Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up the first time 40 days. Lechem le'achalti, mayim le'shasisi. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. We'll discuss this in a second. Ve'yitan Hashem elai, eshnei luchis avonim. And Hashem gave me the two luchis, the original. K'suvim be'etzba l'kimamish, written with the writing of Hashem. V'aleihem and on them, kol advarim asher dibar Hashem imachem b'har mitochayish b'yem hakol. That everything that Hashem spoke to you on the day of Har Sinai, He gave us asher dibris. According to many opinions, the whole Torah was written on the luchis. The bottom line is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I went up. I was there 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. There's two aspects over here with this. Why didn't he eat? That's connected to this coming parsha. The Vayera, the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu. It says they ate. So the Medrash says, it's a Goyish expression, but the Medrash got it first. The Goyim got it from the Torah. Asis lekarta azal b'nimusa. Asis the karti means when you come to a city, azal ben amusa, do the customs of the city. The goyim say, when in Rome, do as the Romans, right? It's really a medrash expression. Asis the karta azal ben amusa. You come to a place, do like the custom of the place. So you say, the malachim came to earth, even though malachim normally don't eat. This is partial. They ate. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai.
He ate, yeah.
So the malachim.
Because he ate reverse of that.
No.
They reverse.
They ate because down here people eat to the Malachim is supposed to eat. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person. He went up to Har Sinai to the Malachim, and because the Malachim don't eat, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat. That's the simple meaning, I didn't eat. Another explanation.
So really, Moshe didn't eat for 40 days.
Mm-hmm. That's what the book says. I don't know, what does the movie show? 38 days. Okay. The pasuk says,
no drink.
So what do you think? When nobody was looking, he ate. He didn't eat. What do you want? So Mefarshim explain. No, the Midrashim explain that what actually happened was Moshe Rabbeinu became that the neshama dominated the body to such an extent that the body became so holy, the body didn't need the food to keep the neshama in the body. Normally a person eats, right? Now, why does a person need to eat? If you don't eat, God forbid you die. That means the neshama will leave the body. So to keep the neshama in the body, you need to eat. That's the purpose of eating. Moshe Rabbeinu elevated his body in the 40 days in Har Sinai to such a level that it didn't need eating to keep the neshama in the body, because the neshama in the body became the same. In fact, it says in Kabbalah, and the Midrashim say it all, that when Mashiach comes after Tchias HaMesim, like this, the body lifts from the neshama. When Mashiach comes, the neshama is going to lift from the body.
The reverse.
But it says the Moshe Rabbeinu elevated his body to such an extent that he didn't need to eat or drink.
Kavanah, body of a tzaddik after his passing stays intact.
That's what it says in Sfarim, yeah.
Has something to do with this concept?
Because the body, the worms probably don't want to eat it. It's not so juicy. No, it says the body remains intact. Okay, so what happened? He says, I went up to Har Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. And it says, Hashem gave me the luchas. Basi Yud Aleph. Vayimi keita aboim yoyim aboim laila. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights. Nasin Hashem elai, yashnei luchas avonim luchas abris. He gave me the two luchas. Okay? And if you notice, the word luchas is without the vav. No. It says, shnei luchas. The first one's without a vav. Yeah? And then luchas abris, the second one with a vav. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that it says luchas singular, that they're both exactly alike. The luchas were exactly alike. By the way, you know, it's... The Gemara says, by the way, this is a mistake that a lot of people, and the Rebbe brought it to people's attention. The luchas were not round on top. You ever see, you go to shuls, the luchas they make on the Aron Kodesh are round on top. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the luchas were not cubic. There were six tvachim by six tvachim, three tvachim deep. It wasn't a cube. It was
three
a square.
Three dimensions.
Yeah, but it was six tvachim by six tvachim and three tvachim deep. Okay? So it couldn't have been rounded on top. If there's six by six, it means it was a square. And therefore the luchas officially, according to what the Gemara, it's a Gemara, the Gemara says, not the Kabbalah. The Gemara says the luchas were six tvachim by six tvachim by three tvachim deep. So Rashi says, why does the Torah say luchas here without a vav? To show both luchas were the same. Exactly the same. And he says like this. Vayem Hashem Elai. So now Hashem said, we need to learn the next few psukim. Vayem Hashem Elai. Kum reid maher mizeh. Quickly go down. Okay? Why? Ki shicheis amcho asher yitzeis emeritim svayim. Your nation that you took out of Egypt sinned. Saru mahem in aderech asher tzivisim, they turned away quickly from the way that I commanded them. Asu lamaseicha, they made themselves this idol, you know, this image. What does it mean, kishicheis amcha? What do you mean amcha? They're not Hashem's nation? What does he call your nation?
By Hashem nation.
It's the aid of Rav. Rashi doesn't say it, but Kisisa Rashi says, when Hashem says, Lech reid, kishicheis amcha. Like, there's Bashi's Kisisa. The multitudes of Moshe Rabbeinu went out. Yeah.
God's permission, I'm sure.
Oh, no. One second. And Kisisa on page 494, it says like this. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lechreid. Over there it says two expressions. Lechreid. Go down. The double expression means first go down physically and then go down from your greatness. Kishiches amcha. So Rashi says shiches amcha. It doesn't say ha'am. This is Rashi and Kisisa. It doesn't say shiches ha'am. Erev Rav Shekibalta mi atzmacha. V'lei nimlachta bi, you didn't discuss it with me. When the Erev Rav, which the Gemara says, by the way, one opinion says, double the size of the Jews.
At that time.
At that time was double the amount in the Erev Rav of the Jews. All the tag-along Egyptians, you know, they wanted, the Jews were on top of the world. They wanted to be with the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu, without even telling Hashem, another place it says Moshe Rabbeinu argued with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, all these goyim want to become Jews. Oh, of course, great. Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu taking them out. Because they caused all the trouble in the desert. All the trouble in the desert was in the Erev Rav. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shiches Amcha, it's your nation that made the problem, not my nation. I didn't tell you to take them. You took him on your own without even discussing it with me. So Hashem says to Moshe, in same expression, Shichis Amcha, Asher Heitzeisa Meretim Mitzrayim, that you took out. Now the Jews are Hashem's nation. But the Erev Rav was Moshe Rabbeinu. They turned away quickly from the way I commanded them. Asula Masecha. Okay? They made this image. Vayema Hashem Elai Lemer, so Hashem said to me, this is Moshe Rabbeinu continuing, I see this nation, it's a stubborn nation, and therefore Hashem says, Heref Mimeni, and there's another remarkable thing, Heref Mimeni, release me, leave me alone, Hashem says, Vashmi them and I'll destroy them, Ve'emcha Shma Mitachas HaShemayim, I will erase the names from the heaven. And I'll make you a nation greater than them. Okay, this is the whole fight. More details are in Parshas Kisisa. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, let me destroy all these Jews. I'll start the nation again from you. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, a nation with 3 feet can't stand. A nation with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov can't stand. You're going to have one nation with 1 foot me? Standing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, it's not happening. But what's unique over here, and this is another remarkable thing, as much as Hashem is screaming at us, He still loves us. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, in Pasuk Yudalid, Heref Mimeni, leave me alone, Vashmidim, and I'll destroy them. Which means clearly, if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't leave Hashem alone, he's not going to be able to do it. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, leave me alone and let me destroy them. That means if you don't leave me alone,
I
cannot destroy them. The question, what do you mean? Hashem can't do whatever he wants.
Why?
Huh?
Why do you put in the Moshe?
Because Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, basically, don't let me go. Don't let me alone. And this, again, Hashem's in the middle of screaming at the Jews. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? Leave me alone and let me destroy them. Basically, Hashem said, don't leave me alone and I won't destroy them.
Right. So lots of pasuks in...
What?
This whole thing about the Jews worshipping an idol right after God gave them the Ten Commandments, it doesn't make a lot of sense because these were people that were supposedly upright. I mean, you don't have a history of Jews idol worshiping before this. Even when they were in Egypt, before us, you know, specifies that they stayed moral.
No, a lot of Jews did worship idols in the.
They
in
died
Egypt.
Though, no, before they came out.
Yeah, but that was 3 days a week before they came out. 4/5 of Jewish people didn't want to go out of Egypt. The Jewish people, first of all, okay, let's look at it from a few angles. Number one, it wasn't the Jews, it was the Erev Rav. Okay, so it wasn't per se the Jews. I know, but the Jews still followed the Erev Rav. Okay, the Erev Rav initiated it. The Erev Rav instigated it, but the Jews followed it. They all followed it. That's number one. How is it possible that 40 days, for not only 40 days, 49 days earlier, that you'd see us Mitzrayim. 49 days before the 40 days, right? That you'd see us Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, all the miracles, the Mon, unbelievable miracles. Then, 40 days, I mean, that 49 later, they got Matan Torah. Vayeda Hashem Alay Sinai, Anecha Hashem Alakacha, the Jews saw it. Then, right afterwards, 40 days later, they made the golden calf. Yeah? How is it possible? So, there's a lot of answers to the question. Number one, Matan Torah didn't permeate them. It was all hoo-ha, very superficial. It was like, you know, you have a blast of something and you get, whoa!
That's it.
And then the blast stops. And you get back to reality, you see 1 minute. You know, it didn't change me. That's number one. So it's about on this one, Matan Torah. The Jews didn't internalize Matan Torah. They didn't internalize Matan Torah, and therefore, it happened. That's issue number one. Issue number two, if you notice, by the ego, okay, what do they say?
It's late. Moshe was late.
No, Moshe was late. Yeah? Okay. And what did they say? Kizem Moshe Isha Shil Alanu Meritim Srayim Lo Yadayna Mehoyele. They didn't intend to build a god. Right? They said, we need a new Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, this guy that took us off here, we don't know what happened to him. Yeah? So they made the eagle, and the Eid of Rav started saying, this is your God that took you out of Egypt. Correct? That's what they said in Parashat Kisis. Just think for a second. How stupid were the people? They thought this golden calf took them out of Egypt. They just went out of Egypt with Moshe Rabbeinu. How can they be so stupid to say this golden calf is the one that took you out of Egypt? That's what they said. Yeah? Ela lukacha Yisrael asher helucha meretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Egypt. How can they say such a thing? So there's long explanations for this. Okay, exactly how the Jews were able to sin in the Egel right after the Gilui of Matan Torah. So one of the explanations brought down is when the Jews, it goes back to the constellations versus direct connection to God. Okay, the Goyim are ruled by the constellations, by the Mazolis. That's why he said Eide Kuchavim Umazolis, right? The Goyim worshipped the stars and the constellations. The sustenance from God goes through, not by the Jews, though, by the Goyim, the sustenance of the world goes through the constellations, through the mazolas. That's what you say, mazel tov, you should have a good mazel. Meaning like this. A Goy is allowed to believe, by the way, that the mazolis, the constellations, have their own power, they have their own ability, and God is in charge of them. But they have free choice. And if they have free choice, you need to say thank you to them. Okay? The Rambam, in the Hilchos Aveidah Zarah, the Rambam begins the laws of Aveidah Zarah by asking a very simple question. How did idol worshipping begin? Think about it. Everybody believed in God. All of a sudden, Enosh was the guy that Azul Hashem. That's when Aveidah Zarah started. How is it possible? God, all of a sudden idols? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You're talking about intellectual people. So the answer is like this. When Hashem has the sun giving us sunlight, yeah? So the sun gives us warmth, the sun gives us things grow, the sun gives us light, the sun gives us a lot of things. So initially the Jews said, it's all God. As time went on, and the troublemakers got involved, they said, yes, there's no question, God is God. But after all, shouldn't we thank the sun? Shouldn't we thank the moon? Shouldn't we thank the constellations? After all, they're giving it to us. We should thank them. Not a bad idea. At least say thank you to them. Because these were more tangible than God. So as time went on, people were only saying thank you to them. Thank you was worshipping them, thanking. And they started forgetting about God. So it's actually a process. Okay, it started believing in God, and they still said God is the God of the, in control. But their mistake was that the Shemesh and Yereach and all the Kerchovim and Mazolis, they have free choice to do or not to do. And if they have free choice, you need to thank them. So they started bringing them gifts, And that was the whole way Avodah Zarah eventually began. For a Jew, that's idol worshipping. A Jew, in fact, the Gemara says, you know why there's a mitzvah kapi the savicha v'simecha? Why is there a mitzvah honoring your father and mother? Because the Gemara says, there's three partners in the creation of man. Father, mother, and God. So because father and mother are partners in your creation, you have to honor them and fear them, right? Why they... It's self-understood, who's the main partner of the three?
God.
Hashem, that's for sure. Okay? So why do you give thanks to the parents? Forget the parents, no parents, only God.
Because they have a choice.
Because they had a choice to have you or not. They could have gotten married, not gotten married, have kids, not have kids. Right? So because the parents, and that's why they're called a shutuf, a partner has a say. If you don't have a say, you're not a partner. A partner has, by definition, has a say. So because the parents have a say to have or not to have...
Because they are in this hand. Parents, they don't have in hand. They're married or not married. This is something is set up.
I understand. But they still have the choice of having children or not having children. Bottom line.
No, it's still the God in charge.
I understand. So, but because the parents have a say in the matter, so therefore you need to think. Yeah. If somebody, why is that against Torah? So the same thing, there's a concept called Shituf. Shituf means the sun and the moon and constellations are a Shutuf, LaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning God has a say and they have a say. And therefore we need to give them thanks and credence and worship them a little bit. The truth of the matter, it's not true. Because not the constellations, not the mazalis, not the stars, not nothing, have no power. And the expression of the Medrash is, Kigarzin b'yad ha-chaytzif, the axe in the hand of the chopper. To use it in modern day language. If somebody cuts you a piece of cake.
Knife.
Yep. Are you going to say thank you to the knife? If a car, if somebody gives you a ride in the car, are you going to say thank you to the car? Depends what the car is. Why won't you say thank you to the knife? L'chaira, the knife cut the cake. Why don't you say the car brought you here? Why the axe chopped the wood? Why don't you say thank you to the axe? The answer is because not the knife has a say, not the car has a say, not the axe has a say.
The parent is the same. No. Well, with your logic,
the parents
parent
has
the same.
A say.
The same, the axe. The parent
no.
The axe.
The parents have a say to have children or not to have children. The parents can decide to have children. The parents can decide not to have children. That means they have the choice.
They can say that, but they're not in power.
They still have choice. If they say, I'm not having kids.
It's not in their hand.
What is in their hand?
It's not in their hand. If they want it, they cannot get it. Some people, they cannot
do
it.
I'm talking the other way. But if they want, they could do it. If they want, they cannot do it. So therefore, you say thank you for choosing to have it. In other words, in Yiddishkeit, all the constellations, the sun, the moon, everything has no reason to say thank you to them because there are only God's axe chopping, God giving heat, sunlight, moonlight, this, like that. It's all coming straight from Hashem, and therefore they're only like an kagarzim yadachait, therefore there's no purpose of thanking them. In Egypt, they believed in the constellations. Not the Jews, the goyim believed in the constellations. The aid of Rav wanted, when the Jews went out of Egypt, to go back to the way it was in Egypt. And they said, El Elokecha Yisrael, this is the God, the constellation, that took you out of Egypt. Forget the real God. Let's focus again on the constellations. Let's worship this ego, because this ego also is like the constellations that have a choice and not have a choice. That was where they came from. So it wasn't denying God. And that's what they didn't say, Eila l'kacha Yisrael, period. They said, Eila l'kacha Yisrael, she'aluchum eretz Mitzrayim, because they believed going out of Egypt was again with the constellations, not only with Hashem. But because the Jews fell for that, and for a Jew that is real Aveda Zora, so for them, they worshipped Aveda Zora with the eagle. But the Eid of Rav, who did all this hocus pocus, wanted not that the Jews shouldn't believe in God. They said, let's go back to the Mazola situation. Let's go back to the wars, Asher Luchum Eretz Mitzrayim, the way it was in Egypt. All the Egyptians believed in the constellations. So this is the way, from a, so to speak, a logical point. Well, what I said now is over a maimer of the Rebbe Marash. But it's a maimer about Rosh Chodesh, by the way. He goes into the whole thing about how it came about, the ego. But the explanation is, because when they came out of Egypt, besides the fact that Matan Torah didn't permeate them, they were used to this lifestyle in Egypt of constellations. Because that's what the Goyim lived. And they believe now, even though going out of Mitzrayim, Hashem said, Anechi, Vavart, Ani Voloi Malach, Ani Voloi Sarv, I'm taking you out myself. But the now they saw the power. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. And they said, who knows what's going on? Let's go back to the... Believe in God. There's no problem believing in God. Believe, though, that this eagle is the one that took you out of Egypt. The constellations are in control. Because the eagle is a baby shard of the Merkava, which, by the way, Shard is one of the constellations. So he said, Eila l'kacha Yisrael, this is the baby Shard from the mazel of the Shard that took you out of Egypt. Go back to the mazels. So, 1 minute. So even though for the Jews it was mamish, the terrible sin, it was mamish of the Zohar and everything terrible, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, leave me alone and let me destroy them. That means Hashem basically said, don't leave me alone, and I don't want to destroy them. Because they're still my kids.
And some stuff comes into those partialities. So like this week's partial that it says that Avram said to Moshe, to Hashem, wait for me to go greet those guests. I mean, what kind of a word is that?
Because Hachnas Zohar is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The Gemara learns out because Avraham Avinu said that, that having guests is greater than talking to God. What?
He's talking about the same concept.
To what?
No, the concept is open.
Okay.
That boy. Egel replacing Moshe or Hashem?
So initially they said, Kiza Moshe Ish. But by replacing Moshe Rabbeinu, they replaced Hashem. That's what happened. Yeah. That's issue number one. Okay? From this perspective. Now, let's look at it. That's why the Jews sinned.
That's
correct?
Interesting.
The Jews sinned. Idol worshipping, but it makes sense because it wasn't idol worshipping. It says, let's go back to the constellation system like it was before. But the bottom line is, God made it happen, this whole thing. Why did God want it to happen? If God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. First of all, God could have done very simple. He could have sent down Moshe Rabbeinu on time. Okay, the Jews miscalculated. Yeah? But Hashem could have sent down Moshe Rabbeinu on time and everybody would have been happy. Wouldn't have had the golden calf. Wouldn't have all this. The golden calf had to be part of the system. Yes. The ego was the reincarnation of the Eitz HaDas. Matan Torah undid the Eitz HaDas. And therefore, like we mentioned, when Hashem gave the Torah in Har Sinai the first time, the Luchis were Tzadikim. The Jews were on the level of Tzadikim. Right? Came out of Egypt, newborn, 49 days preparation, reached lofty levels, no connection to sin, Tzadikim level. Hashem says, okay, that's very good. But it's not the ultimate. The ultimate is Baal Tshuva Torah. Yeah. Baal Tshuva is greater than the Tzaddik. Right? So that's the difference between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. The first luchas, the Jews were tzaddikim. It's connected to Pesach. When were the second luchas given? On Yom Kippur, the level of tshuva. So Hashem says, the first luchas were very good. Excellent. Matan Torah undid the impurity of the Eitz Hadas. The world became perfect. But on a tzaddik level, Hashem says, it's still not good enough. I need a Baal tshuva level. So I'm going to make you sin, and you're going to do tshuva, and you're going to get to the Yom Kippur, the second luchas, like we'll learn soon. And that's the level of Baal tshuva, and that's the ultimate level. And that's why, like we discussed over Tishrei, why is Simchas Torah not Shavuos? Think about it. Simchas Torah, beginning and ending of the Torah, should be on Shavuos. Matan Torah, we got the Torah, so on Shavuos we should start the Torah, finish the Torah, and dance. Yeah. Simchas Torah is after Yom Kippur. And not only that, but it explains also the same concept, it's all interconnected. What do you do on Simchas Torah? It says in Halacha, even people that learn a lot, Simchas Torah, you dance more. You don't, Shavuos is a learning, you know, you're up all night learning. Simchas Torah is not, yeah, you have to learn what you learn normally, but Simchas Torah is not a learning day. Yes. It's a dancing day, yeah? You dance with a closed Torah. Think about it. We're celebrating the beginning and the ending of Torah, the ending and the beginning of Torah. What you do Simchas Torah, we should all sit down and learn Torah. Nobody learns in Simchas Torah. I mean, yeah, again, you learn what you have to learn. But what do? You dance with a closed Sefer Torah. Why? Because in the level of righteous people, everybody is a different level. You have greater tzaddikim, more learned, less learned. In tshuva,
what do you say?
Everybody is the same. The Torah says, the ultimate simcha of Torah is about tshuva after Yom Kippur. And you dance with the Torah because then you can't tell who's a scholar, who's not a scholar. Because you're dancing with a closed book. This is all what Hashem wanted from the eagle. And therefore Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the truth is, from one perspective, I should destroy them. Hashem says to him, don't let me do that. Don't let me do that because there's a greater level, and that is the Jew being a Jew. We said many, many times, the last Rashi in Chumash, it's all connected to this point. The last Rashi in Chumash, the close of Chumash, at the end of Zeis HaBracha, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Rashi says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashir Kechecha Sheshibartam. Thank you for breaking the luchas. So we're going to learn a few psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas. How does Rashi in Chumash finish his whole commentary of Chumash? Thank you for breaking the luchas. It's not a real nice way to end the Chumash by saying thank you for breaking the book. By the way, when Moshe Rabbeinu broke him, he didn't know he was getting a second set. As far as he was concerned, that's it. In fact, I don't know if we're going to get that today because we went off. But the Mefarshim asked a question, when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas, they weren't his. Who gave him right to break them? Who gave Moshe Rabbeinu right to break the luchas? That is. The whole discussion of Mefarshim, very interesting. Who, halachically, who gave Moshe Rabbeinu the right to break the luchas? Were they his or weren't they his? It's very interesting. I don't forget that. Not next week for sure. But the point over here, why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu Yashu Kercha Shibarto? Like we said many, many times, at the eagle proved a point. The eagle brought out one unique issue. When the Jews sinned in the eagle, either Torah had to go or the Jews had to go. Because if Torah stayed and the Jews committed adultery, then the Jews have to be killed. If the Jews stay, that means Torah got to go. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down from Har Sinai, as we'll soon again say in a few psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down from Har Sinai. He sees the Jews worshipping the eagle, and he says, uh-oh, I got a problem here. One of the two must go. Either Torah goes and the Jews stay, or the Torah stays and the Jews go. So Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, who understood what Torah was really all about, Zichru Torah, Moshe Avdi, Torah is called on his name, Moshe Rabbeinu made an immediate decision. Well, he didn't have to come down. Oh, what was his decision? Torah goes in Jews stay. So if you look at it, what did the sin of the ego bring out? That a Jew is so great, even greater than Torah. And which Jew? A Jew that 40 days after Matan Torah worshipped the golden calf, that Jew is greater than Torah. Where does the Torah bring that out? The story of the Yegel brings it out. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that. The story of the Yegel, and that's why Hashem made it happen. Hashem made the Yegel happen to prove a point. I want the Jews to know for all times that Jews are greater than Torah. It's a phenomenal concept. That's why Hashem made the eagle happen. Number one, Hashem wanted a Baal Tshuva Torah versus a Tzadikim Torah. And secondly, the eagle brings out the greatness of the Jew. That even Torah, and that's where Rashi ends with this, Yashar Koichach Hashem Shibarta. Because Torah itself is saying that a Jew is greater than Torah.
Moshe did it. Hashem didn't do that.
But Hashem said, Yashar Koichach.
After he did.
Yeah. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu did three things, and Hashem agreed. Yeah. Right? Separated himself from his wife, and added the day by Matan Torah. And then the third thing, Moshe Rabbeinu did, he broke the Luchas. So the Gemara said, how do we know that, how do we know, what?
I thought he said Chazak
Baruch. No, that's it. Shem Ashkenazi. In say Chazak Baruch Shishibarto, Yashar Koichach Shishibarto. That's, I mean, you can't have a clearer proof than that. That Hashem is Ashkenazi. And if Hashem was, and Moshe Rabbeinu is Ashkenazi too, because otherwise he wouldn't understand what Hashem said.
Maybe he find out before he told me, don't leave
just,
me alone.
Just think about it.
God is a white male Ashkenazi.
Moshe was in Mizraim. Who was in Mizraim? The Sephardim.
The Tzvardeya, the frogs were in Mizraim.
That boy.
No, we can have rice on Passover. Nothing else matters.
Okay. The bottom line is, that's why Hashem wanted the eagle to happen. By the way, this is a whole new outlook on the positive aspect of the eagle. Completely positive. Just like Chetei Tzedas Hashem wanted to happen, the measure Neir Alila B'nei Adam Hashem made it happen, the eagle is mamash a replay of the Chetei Tzedas. Because Matan Torah undid the Chetei Tzedas, and then the eagle redid the Eitz Hadas into the world. But Hashem wanted it to happen. Number one, because then you have a higher level of Torah, the Torah of a Baal Tshuva versus the level of a Tzaddik. And secondly, Hashem wanted to show the Jew is so great that they're still not going to get destroyed and Torah will be destroyed instead. It's a very great level.
It's interesting. Before that, we have a program that Hashem told him, don't leave me. Then I killed the Jew. Because Moshe find out his best thing is angry with him to do the
Moshe Rabbeinu loved arguing with Hashem for the sake of the Jews.
No, this argue, they gave him a clue. Then he coming down, he don't destroy the Torah, not the Jews.
Because Hashem wanted to destroy the Jews. But Hashem himself said to him, leave me alone and let me destroy it. So basically Hashem says, don't leave me alone and then they don't destroy.
That's the clue they gave. That's interesting.
Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, Pasuk Tezvav, 15. The eighth of Eidim in Ahar, and I turned, I came down from the mountain. The mountain was burning with fire. And I was holding the luchas with my both hands. And I saw that you sinned. And by the way, it's an interesting thing. Why does the pasuk emphasize Moshe Rabbeinu saw it? Hashem told him. He didn't believe Hashem. But you have an interesting thing. It's in this week's parsha also. When Hashem was going to destroy Zidane, it's a very interesting pasuk, Rashi says. Yeah. Hashem said, Erdonova Erda, let me go down and see. Okay? So Rashi says, Lomad, it's from the Medrash, Ledayonim Shali Yifsiku Dine Nefoshis El Beria. You want to pass in capital punishment? You got to see it. Hashem says, I want to destroy Zidoyim. I got to go down. Hashem says, I got to go down and see it. When Hashem's all over, what does he have to go down for? It teaches us, before you want to proclaim death on somebody, it's not what you heard. It's not enough. So Hashem himself is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you guys made an idol. The pasuk says, I didn't. Va'eda, and I saw v'nei chatosim l'Hashem alokim. I saw it myself. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I will not believe God to give capital punishment to a Jew. Even God himself, I don't believe. Sartamahem in aderech asher tziva Hashem eschem, that Hashem commanded you. So he says like this, Ve'et beis b'shnei aluchis, I grabbed onto both luchis, Vashlichem me'al shtei yodei, I threw them down, Vashablim le'inechem, I broke them in front of your eyes. Okay, so here there's a whole discussion even before we get into the, okay. Why did, if you stop, the puzzle doesn't make sense. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the two luchis in his hand, yeah? Ushnei in pasuk tezvav, ushnei luchis habris al shtei yodai. He said the luchis in my hands. Then it says, va'ed beis b'shnei aluchis, I grabbed them and I threw them down. He was holding them. What do you mean he's grabbing them? From whom? The pasuk said Moshe Rabbeinu is holding the luchis, yeah, al shtei yodai. Okay, what does the pasuk say? Huh? Yeah, the pasuk says, I held the luchis, shnei luchis al shtei yodai, and then it says ve'et beis b'shnei aluchis, and then I threw him down. Okay. So simply, before we go into the other discussion, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, why is Moshe Rabbeinu grabbing the luchis if he had him in his hands already? So he says like this. Until Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Jewish people, the luchis were held up by themselves. In other words, he held on to them, but the it's a very heavy stone, by the way. But the luchis, the letters held themselves. Okay, when he witnessed their sins, the luchis lost their holiness, and then he had to punch it. He was about to drop it. Now the luchis were co-held by the kedusha. The kedusha. Let's say you have to, you know, grab it to make sure it doesn't fall. The Medrash says like this, the luchis were at 6 tfachim, Moshe Rabbeinu was holding 2 tfachim, Hashem was holding the other hand of 2 tfachim. So 2 tfachim are unsupported. Now that Hashem left, he had to hold on to the other, because it was heavy. Okay, that's why Hashem said, you broke them. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchas? So the famous marshal the Medrash gives, there was a nobleman, okay, he wanted to marry a woman, okay, and then he found out afterwards the woman committed adultery, and a friend of the king went and ripped up the marriage contract as if to show she wasn't married, and therefore he doesn't have to kill her, and he really didn't want to kill her because he loved her. Anyways, he says to the friend, thank you for doing what you did, because now I don't have to kill the woman, because she was never married, so she didn't commit adultery. So same thing, Medrash says, Hashem married the Jews, and then 40 days later, the Jews made the eagle. So Hashem said, we gotta go kill the Jews. The friend Moshe Rabbeinu came, broke the marriage contract, the Torah, and that was it. The Jews lived happily ever after. This is why he broke the luchas. Now, it's later, it's the time already, but Mitzvah Shem next week we'll discuss what right did Moshe Rabbeinu have to break the luchas. Whose were they? Who owned the luchas? It's a whole discussion in the commentaries. Who actually owned the luchas? Was it God? Was it Moshe? Was it the Jews? Or was it all of the above? So we'll see in Mitzvah Shem next week why that happened. Thank you.